You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15pm with Gareth Topham, Ross Briley and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got three meetings this Tuesday, jumping at Fakenham and Southwell and racing on the all-weather pulley track at Lingfield. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is jockey Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
How are you going, Mark?
Not so bad, thank you. Not so bad at all. You've had a few rides of late in both codes, so you're keeping busy?
Yeah, keeping busy. I was at Wetherby, had a couple of rides there Saturday, and it was Wolverhampton Friday, and back in the saddle a bit later in the week, but hopefully looking a bit busier sort of towards the back end and over the weekend, please God.
Hopefully so, good stuff. We're going to have a quick look through the Monday jury, and then we're going to get stuck into Tuesday's racing. No surprise that the Monday jury looks back at some of the events over the weekend. It also looks ahead to next weekend a little bit as well. So, interesting stuff this week. First question, Paddy, does Thistlecrack scream King George or Gold Cup winner to you?
Probably Gold Cup, Mark. I won't say it looks a grinder, but he's just got so many gears. I just think Cheltenham would be more to his liking. He's obviously got a great record around there, and I just think we didn't really learn an awful lot more at the weekend. He was just so fresh and gassy, and I mean, the Tizard said afterwards that they hadn't schooled him since the Chepstow run, and it showed the other day. You know, he's just a horse. He loves to jump, and just at times the other day he was doing a bit too much, and was one or two he was pitching out on his head, and but the ditch at the top of the hill both times. I mean, he was amazing, and yeah, I would certainly be looking Gold Cup route if he was mine.
Yeah, it was a little bit big and bold out of you, wasn't he? Almost too brave in a respect in some ways.
Too brave, yeah. And just gassy and fresh and just pleased to be jumping fences, really.
Yeah. He's 6-1 for the King George, the sixth chase, by the way, if anybody wants to know the price there. And he's still favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. He's 130 at the top of the anti-post market for that race. What points to the future were there in the Bet Victor Gold Cup on Saturday?
It was a very, very fast run race. I mean, there was a little bit of carnage as well, and I mean, it was bad ground. Some horses were keeping out wide, is what we've seen, and but probably the horse that finished fourth, Aso, I thought he ran a reasonably good race. You know, he's still fairly unexposed over fences. It's only his second season, and I thought he was certainly one to take out the race. But it was a tough race. I say it was an early season race. It was. Certainly an event that will take a bit of getting over for horses, because it was grueling and there was no hiding place, but that was a good run by Aso, and he was probably the one that went to my notebook, Mark.
Okay, so to take out of the field then for Paddy, of the juvenile hurdlers we've seen this season, who stood out to you?
Well, it's still very early days juvenile wise, because you know, we can change our mind a lot between now and March, and you know, the horses can look good and then 2 weeks later you'll get another one that looks better. But I mean, there's been plenty of talk for Land of Hope and Glory, and you know, he's a real battle-hardened flat horse. But I mean, the horse that won on Saturday, the Defi Desai, I mean, that was impressive. But I don't think on the day how strong the race was is probably debatable. But he just looked, he's got a completely different profile to Land of Hope and Glory. You know, he's a French bumper winner, and but he was good nonetheless. Had a very good hurdling technique, but just looked to have a real change of gear on bad ground the other day. And I mean, he put them to bed pretty quickly, and you could see that Barry Gerrity was always travelling. Sweet as a nut, really. But I mean, form-wise, is open to debate, as I say. But he couldn't have done any more. And for the minute, he certainly looks one that's exciting. But I'm sure Joseph O'Brien, he'll have a few up his sleeve for that department just yet.
Yeah, he's unleashed any of his yards. He's received a lot of horses from his father, hasn't he? So
yeah,
could be interesting to see how that develops. Looking ahead to the weekend, who's your fancy for the Betfair Chase? Grade 1 action coming up at Haydock this Saturday. We do have betting out as well. Q Card 6-4 favourite, Coney Gree 2-1, 7-1 Vidiaco Conti, see you at midnight 9-1, 11-1 Irish Cavalier, 16-1 for Godzone, Menora and Outlander, and 40-1 Bardos. What do you make of it, Paddy?
It's one of them races can be very, very grueling, to be honest. Just depends how deep conditions are on the day, but I mean, I didn't think QCar done a lot wrong, and I think some lessons were learned. The Tizzards stated that after Weatherby, and but you know, they're not going to give Paddy Brennan any instructions or tactics, just leave it to him, and he knows the horse well enough by now, and I think he'll have improved for that Weatherby run. It was a good reappearance in the Charlie Hall, and it's a race that he's won in the past, and although Sylvia Nakokondi's got a great record in the race as well, I think QCard haven't had the benefit of the Charlie Hall run. As long as the ground isn't too, too desperate, I think he would be my selection there, Mark.
Okay, QCard to win the race. Once again, won it last year, of course, en route to following up in the King George, and then came, well, looked like he was coming with a challenge in the Gold Cup. Obviously, the £1 million Triple Crown bonus is on offer once again, so he'll be wanting to... our connections will be wanting to get off to a flyer in the Betfair Chase. Just a bit of news about Conny Gray. Obviously, Nico de Boinville broke his hand, didn't he, at the weekend? So he won't be riding him. They're aiming for Richard Johnson to take over, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's a bit of news there. Next question. Could Gordon Elliott pip Willie Mullins to the trainer's title this term?
It is going to be very tight because, obviously, things have swung in his favour with receiving that influx of horses from Jigginstown. But, look... Willie's got so many high-class horses still that he's not unleashed, and Gordon's got off to an absolute flyer, and he's having winners every day up and down the country, and he's up to 1.6 million already, euro, 100 winners on the board. But, I mean, look, Willie will get rolling, and like I said, we haven't had any of the real big days over in Ireland yet, so, I mean, he won it prize money-wise. He was so far ahead, you know, he's over 2 million last season, so he's a high, high-class trainer with plenty of high-class horses, and although at the minute it looks very one-sided and that Gordon is going full steam, I'm sure that the balance will swing back in Willie's favour. And but that said, it's going to go to the wire, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it could be a bit closer than recent years. You mentioned Willie Mullins hasn't really sent out any of the big guns yet. Could see one of them, or maybe a couple of them over the weekend. It's Morgiana Hurdle there at Punchestown. Annie Power and Faheen both in the entries at this point, so I doubt we'll see both of them, but we might see one of them.
Yeah, please God, yeah.
Yeah. Final question. Sprinter Sacker obviously officially retired on Sunday. What will be your message in a retirement card for Sprinter Sacker?
I probably wouldn't write one because I've got terrible handwriting, man. but look, there's no words to say about the horse. I mean, it was such a horrid weekend, really, wasn't it? I mean, I know he gets emotional a lot of the times, even on his good days, doesn't he, Nicky Henderson? But you could see how much that really affected him at the weekend, and I mean he's a horse that an awful lot of people have in their hearts, so it's horrible when you lose the good ones like that, because we've got so many horses kicking around, and you'll only have a certain few will capture the public's imagination like that. But yeah, it was sad, and you know, obviously with the grey horse as well for Nicky, it was a hard weekend all round. So but you know, he's had plenty of good days, plenty of bad days, and he'll soon bounce back.
Easily the best 2 mile chaser I've ever seen in my lifetime. He was absolutely superb on his day, and that day when he regained his Champion Chase crown as well, I think that was one of the big moments in Cheltenham Festival history personally. But yeah, that's the Monday Jory for another week. We'll leave that there unless there's anything else on your mind, Paddy.
No, that was about it, Pap.
Okay, let's get stuck into Tuesday then. Paddy's prepared 4 races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's action. As we say, Paddy's got 4 races prepared for us. We're going to look at 1 race from Southwell over the obstacles, and then 3 races on the all-weather at Lingfield. The first race that we look at, we'll go through them in time order, is the 1:15 at Southwell. This is a Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over almost 3 miles. We've got only 5 of them in the lineup here, Paddy, and I was kind of interested in Churchtown Champ, given that his second behind Fayette County last time at Worcester has been boosted a little bit by the winner. Fayette County ran well at Cheltenham over the weekend.
Yeah, it has. And to be honest, that was Churchtown Champ's first go over fences and at a track where both Harry and Dan Skelton have an awful lot of luck. They like to take a lot of their novice hurdlers and chasers there. He was only beat ahead in first-time tongue tie. He fenced well, done everything right. I mean, he was highly tried over hurdles, this chap, and you know, so chances are he's going to make into a fairly decent recruit over fences. I mean, he was a 1-2-6 hurdler, and he was also a point-to-point winner around that great track in Ireland, in Drumahane. So he was well regarded when he was bought and brought over here, and he hasn't done much wrong at all, but connections haven't wasted time with him over hurdles, really. Like I say, off the back of that Chase debut, you know, we went down fighting, form has been boosted, and because this is a limited handicap, he's not actually having to give loads of weight away. He's got 11.8, and bottom weight's 10 stone 11, so there's not really a lot between them, but, I mean, he's got the benefit of that reappearance run. Tempin Hills has also had a reappearance, but it wasn't so good. And then the horse of John Joe's Beggar's Cross, who didn't run too badly as well last time. But for me, I think Churchtown Champ is going to make up into a fine chaser, and off a mark of 130, he should be capable of taking care of this lot tomorrow.
Churchtown Champ then for Paddy in the 115 at Southwell. Onto the all-weather next in the 125 at Lingfield. This is a Class 6 handicap over 6 furlongs. So 3-year-olds and older, a field of 12 will go to post for this one, Paddy. And I thought this was pretty tricky, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a bit trappy, to be honest, because you've got a last-time winner there in Swiss Cross, and he's well-drawn to go and get box seat. He's in one, but he's a horse who... You know, he's getting on in years now, but look, he found himself at the right end of the handicap again, but simply that was because he hadn't got his head in front for a while, although he'd gone close a few times, but managed to dead heat the last day around Lingfield. He's a good old horse, and he certainly knows how to win, and Callum Shepherd takes the ride again, so it takes 5 off, and he is well drawn. But the one I was going to take a chance on, to be honest, was a bit further down the weights, Rosie Rice for Jimmy Fortune and Henry Candy. Still a maiden, this one, to be honest, and makes its all-weather debut, and it's drawn in 10. So, to be honest, there was more negatives, but I just thought the fact that it was still room for improvement in the fact that it's making its all-weather debut, it was down in trip, and it has been running in better company on the grass. Like I say, although it's still a maiden, Jimmy Fortune's booked. It's only rated 65, and it just looked winnable because, for a few others, I think... The handicappers had his say, and plus they're just about round at the top of the mark. And although Rosie Rice is no star, could just be open to a bit of improvement now taken to the all-weather surface.
Rosie Rice then for Paddy in the 125 at Lingfield. Staying at Lingfield for the 155 next. This is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. This is for 3-year-olds and older. We'll start with Shy Penn, if we may, Paddy. Her... A hat-trick bid came unstuck last time. Is that a sign that the handicapper's caught up with her, or would you give her another chance here?
I wouldn't write her off just yet. Had every chance, really, but drawn 8 tomorrow. This is a fairly competitive race, and one that, for me, will certainly be run at a good gallop. Oh, Bertie Blueboy, he's got plenty of early speed. So many times we've seen him just get chinned at Lingfield right on top of the line and can sometimes run out of gas. He has won there, and you know he's a good old stick, so... Like I say, we are going to have a truly run race for sure. The one I was going to take a little chance on again was the Richard Hannah horse, Alcor. He's only had 4 runs. Although he's won on the grass, he's only had 1 go on the all-weather. Didn't run too badly at all. Steps up to 6 tomorrow. Like I say, the fact that there's a good pace on, I think, will suit him. He's well drawn. Because he's only had the 4 starts and 1 all-weather, he's still very, very unexposed. And although it's competitive and we've got some proper battle-hardened characters here, I think ability-wise and having a nice draw in 1 could just set it up nicely for him.
I'll call then for Paddy in that race. And the final race we look at is the 255 at Lingfield, a Class 3 handicap over 1.25 miles. We've got 3-year-olds and older in the lineup here, a field of 9, quite a good field as well. But we'll start with Strong Force, Paddy. Makes his handicap debut here, was a winner at Chelmsford last time. That form's been franked by the runner-up as well. Could be anything here, couldn't he?
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, just at the minute, them horses that they're running in maidens from Boca Dolphin Yards they're on fire, really. And this Chelmsford maiden winner, the handicapper has set him off on a mark of 86, which, you know, could be fairly, I won't say lenient, but, you know, definitely competitive. The second in that race has won since. And he's got a real good attitude, this horse. I mean, to be honest, probably should be 2 from 2. Just missed the break at Catrick first time, but absolutely flew home, and another stride he'd have been up at Catrick, so with a little bit more luck he should be 2 from 2, and the yard is going well. I mean, he made all the last day, so he's fairly streetwise, this chap. To say he's only had a couple of goes, you know, he knows what's required, and Josh Doyle rode a lovely winner, rode a lovely race, I thought, around Wolverhampton the other night, and I think it was his first ride for Godolphin. Very, very capable rider. So he takes a few pound off his back as well, which will help. But I just thought in there at the foot of the weights, and having the carry 8 stone 10 with Josh's 5 off. So very, very competitively weighted. And he looks like a horse really going forward, man.
So strong force then to win the 2.55 at Lingfield. In Paddy's opinion, as usual, Paddy, just a quick summary before you go. Just relay your final selections for us then.
Yeah, over the jumps at Southwell, I went with the Dan Skelton horse here, Churchtown Champ. Done nothing wrong on his debut. He just went down by a head, and it was a pretty decent run in first time tongue tie. And he was a 1.26 hurdler, and he's actually been a lot at a mark of 1.30 over fences straight away after being placed on that first go. And the fact that it's a limited handicap, he's not having to give stacks of weight away, so it's only a small field, and I think he'll get off the mark over fences there tomorrow. In the 1.25 on the flat at Lingfield, Rosie Royce. There's plenty of negatives, to be honest. There's more negatives than positives, so I am taking a little bit of a risk here, but it's on a competitive mark of 65. It's been competing in better, stronger races on the grass, and just connections, really. It's a trainer I respect, Henry Candy, and Jimmy Fortune's booked. So Rosie Royce in the 1.25 at Lingfield. In the 1.55, I've gone for the Richard Hannon Alcor down at the foot of the weights. Still very relatively lightly raised and unexposed, this horse, but he's well drawn. He's going to have a good pace to attack. The trip is a plus of 6 furlongs after a good all-weather debut last time over 5 furlongs. So Alcor there in the 1.55. And then my final selection in the 2.55 was the Godolphin Strong Force. He's a good maiden winner at Chelmsford last time. The handicapper has set him off with a mark of 86. The form of that race has been franked. The yard is going well. And like I say, with a little bit more luck on his side, he should be 2 from 2, this horse. But the fact that he did get beat first time probably adds to the fact that he's got in the market 86 here. Jockey takes 5 off, rode his first winner for the yard on Friday. And with that 5 off, he's got a lovely racing weight of 8 stone 10. And for me, looks to be very, very competitive in that 2.55 at Lingfield Mark.
Superb. Thank you very much, Paddy. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thanks, Bob.
There you go. The thoughts of Paddy Aswell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15 PM. Gareth Topham, Ross Briley and Rory DeLaggy will be the team in the studio for the meetings at Fakenham, Southwell and at Lingfield. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.